WGN.
852. The Baby Otter program is coming to Chicago this coming March. The Baby Otter Andre Dawson Aquatic Center is going to develop new swimmers. Babies as young as 8 months old. And the one-of-a-kind kick-turn-reach instructional program at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. And Baby Otter founder Marlene Bloom is here with Andre Dawson. Before we talk baseball, Marlene, lean right into that microphone for me. Mm-hmm. So I guess we need to thank the people at the Westin, right, for being a part of this.
They are. They've signed. We're working with them, and we are going to be here. They want to bring in the community. They are just 100% behind us and wanting to save the lives of children and give them another social means of being able to enjoy themselves.
And what's the website if people want to take a look at what you guys are doing?
It's www.babyottershicago.com.
Babyottershicago.com. And Andre Dawson's here. You talked about why this matters to you, but do you want to throw anything else about the program before we hit you with a couple of baseball questions?
Well, it was, I think, important. For me, Chicago has always been like my second home.
Right.
And we came here to promote drowning prevention a number of years ago, and mm-hmm. now to actually have the opportunity to bring the business here and work with the Westin. We're very excited.
Cool.
Well, for you. Thankfully, you know, we were just talking about this a little bit off the air, and I couldn't believe it was 31 years. Andre Dawson showed up at Cubs spring training. I remember we were here in these studios thinking about Andre Dawson possibly coming to the Cubs, presented the Cubs with a blank contract, and ended up signing with the Cubs and continued his Hall of Fame career here. And now, here you are 31 years later, and you're back with the Cubs again. Right? A little, the joining the Cubs this time a little simpler than it was the last time, right?
Yes, this has been a long time coming. When I retired, it was a dream of mine to come back to the organization. I actually took 3 years off with the hopes of getting a call to come back and work for them. It didn't really work out. The Marlins offered me a job. South Florida was my home. So for 15 years, I've been with that organization, and this situation here opened up for me with the change of new management down in Florida, and this is the way I think to close the chapter on my baseball life. I get to come back to Chicago, where I feel I've always belonged.
Andre, I've seen you at the ballpark. I've seen you at restaurants around Wrigleyville. You're so generous with your time. You're always taking pictures and signing autographs. So my question is, when was the last time you got to watch a baseball game, first inning through the ninth inning, completely without anyone coming up to you and taking a picture?
Well, that don't happen too often. I enjoyed it. It's all a part of it. And the fans are actually what make the game itself. So for me, it's exciting to know that, hey, at least they still think about you.
We're excited here, too, because we're now the Chicago White Sox station, and the White Sox got a great young team that sort of reminds us of the Cubs a couple of years ago with these kids that were coming up. And baseball's a kind of sport where anything's possible if you get the right sort of farm system and roots growing. So take me back to the beginning. Who's your mentor? Who's the guy that made it for you, gave you your first big break in baseball?
Well, probably my big first break. I commend the Expos organization. Mel Didier, the late Mel Didier, just passed away last year, saw some ability in me and invited me to a tryout just before a draft down in West Palm Beach. And he said, well, if the cards fall where we hope they will, we will be in touch with you in another week or so. I was all of 20 years old.
20 years old. So you end up signing with the Expos. How much money then? Because that was not a blank contract.
I was drafted in the 11th round. I got a signing bonus of $2,000. They sent the check to my sister. Actually opened the envelope, and she saw that it was $1,500, and she said, we're rich.
It's all the money in the world when it's all the money in the world, right?
Right, right. So that, I think, was an opportunistic time for me, and I owe a lot to Mel Didier.
The Cub fans, and I count myself among them, obviously, love what you did here, but I also love the statement you made at a time when, I got to be old enough to remember this, but Catfish Hunter was the first free agent that really made big dough. And good for him. And big dough back then, I think he signed for $450 or something. $450,000 now is the driver, the third baseman that never gets to play. So it's a different game. But you showed a love for the game, and a want to be a part of the Chicago Cubs. I don't know that it's ever been repeated, but I think it's a testament to who you are as a man, and I think it ought to be remembered that way.
Well, I don't think it'll ever happen again. But, you know, for me, I felt that it was the only way I was going to get here.
That was a gutsy move.
Yeah, this was my number one priority. I'd always enjoyed daytime baseball, the city of Chicago, and the fans were tremendous. And after 10 years, I said, well, with pretty much the nucleus of the playoff team still intact, I could be a piece that could add to that. Unfortunately, we finished in last place. But I just said, you know, hey, if this is going to happen, then I can't make monetary demands. I just have to go in and say, hey, pay me what you think I'm worth.
Unselfishness.
I know you were with a different organization in 2016, but where were you for Game 7?
Interesting. I was at home. I actually had a promotion set up to come to Chicago, and I had a 6 a.m. flight after the game. If the Cubs won, if they lost, Kenny Lofton was going to do the appearance for Uber Fanatics in Cleveland. And I didn't really want to pack because I didn't want to jinx them.
Of course not.
So I waited until, you know, about the eighth inning. There were two runs up, and I said, they're going to win this game. And let me just throw some things together quick. I go and I pack and I come back, and the game is tied. And the only thing I could think of was, oh, I jinxed them. And now, you know, we go into extra innings. We have the rain delay. We go into extra innings, and they score the two runs. And now the game is over, and I got to stay up and watch the celebration. Now,
sure.
I'm thinking about I got to get up at 4:30. Well, I was on Eastern time, and it was almost 2 o'clock in the morning. So I watched the celebration. I wind up staying up, going to the airport about a little bit before 5 o'clock, and getting on the plane, getting out to Wrigley Field, and doing the interview with ESPN and starting the promotion right about 9 a.m.
And then he dozed off 10 minutes later. Did you get teary at all?
You know what? I jumped up, and I think I was just as happy, ecstatic as any Chicago Cubs.
If you had made the last out. Right? If you had caught that ball and made the last out, you're probably just as excited because you're part of the story.
I was very proud of those guys because I spoke with Joe Maddon right before they went on the road, and I agreed with them. They needed to get out of Wrigley Field to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And he assured me, he said, you know what, we're going to win this. I said, I think so. I said, you know, they have no pressure on them now. They're going to go away from home. And I think for everyone that ever put the uniform on, they were very happy.
One of the great series of all time, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And the Cubs got it done. And were the Cubs favorite this year? I haven't looked at the odds.
They're like third choice in the National League behind, you know, the Nationals, Dodgers, and the Cubs.
The
those three
suspects.
Teams, I think.
Yeah. And what are you going to be doing? Or what are you doing in spring training?